Learning Nefesh HaChaim, the Prokim, the extra chapters that were added to Shah Gimel. We were speaking last time about the damage a person can do if he tries to think of lofty thoughts, and in the meantime he neglects the mitzvah itself. He doesn't do the mitzvah itself properly. So the Nefesh HaChaim says that that's destruction, that destroys the whole Torah, that destroys the world, because the essence of the mitzvah is the action, and the lofty intention is just an added aspect. It just makes the mitzvah a little bit better, makes the mitzvah more beautiful. But if you're missing the actual mitzvah itself, then you ended up with nothing. It's no good having an intention without a mitzvah. So therefore, this is something we have to be very careful of. And he goes along in the same theme here in Perikei, chapter 5, in the second paragraph. But Loizu Bilvad, not only when it comes to physical mitzvahs, is it essential that a person does the mitzvah itself. That when it comes to actual physical mitzvahs, the main part of it is the activity part, the physical action. And shegam mitzvahs hatfila, but even when it comes to the mitzvah of prayer, the mitzvah of prayer doesn't involve so much action. You just have to stand still. That's all the action is. But even when it comes to mitzvah tefillah, shenikas avodah shebelev, we know that tefillah is called, prayer is called the service of the heart. Essentially, what you're doing is you're activating your heart. Limdu chazal b'reish pe kametatainis mikosuv, as our sages learn from the verse. The verse says la'avdu b'chol levavchem. It says about prayer. It says about serving Hashem with all your heart. And that the Gemara says that's prayer. What sort of prayer can we do with our heart? What can we do with our heart? We can't pick up heavy things with our hearts. We can't run marathons with our hearts. But it means the prayer. The main intention of the prayer is the desire, because the main thrust of the prayer is the desire of the person. In calls, and even so, even though prayer is really a service of the heart, it's a service of intention, of desire, with even so, ha'ika, the main part of prayer, in other words, to fulfill the basic obligation of prayer, shetzoich adam lachtoich besfosov, he's got to actually utter the words with his lips. He's got to actually say, the essence of the mitzvah, in a practical sense, is saying the words, uttering the words, with the, right, and the lips, the expression in Hebrew is lachtoich besfosov. He cuts with his lips. In other words, just like he trims the letters. These sounds come out, these sounds don't come out. Actually, the whole formation of the word physically is done by the lips, by the teeth, by the lips. So therefore, it's the expression of the lips, and therefore the basic fulfillment of the mitzvah is with the lips. Dafka, called teva. To say every single word, not to skip words, of what was enacted for the prayer. Moshe Amru Chazal, like our sages said, Bereish Perik Ein Oimdim, in the beginning of chapter of Ein Oimdim in Brochus, from the verses of Chana. We learn a lot about our laws of davening from Chana. When she was davening, she was brokenhearted that she was many, many years without a child, and she wanted so much to have a child who would serve Hashem. About her prayer, the verse says, "Raks vaseo nois." Only her lips were moving. She was standing absolutely still. The only thing that was moving was her lips. Mikan, so says the Gemara, from there, from those verses, we learn, that a person who prays has to utter it with his lips. He's got to say the words with his lips. The Midrash on Shmuel, it says, the Midrash there asks, maybe prayer, you can fulfill the obligation of prayer by thinking it in your heart. And sort of think through the prayer, think through the Shmoneh Esrei in your heart, in your thoughts. So Talmud Lema, so the Torah says, Raks Faseh Nois. No, says the Gemara, that can't be, because the verse says that her lips were moving. And from this we learn that the lips have to move. There has to be that action of moving lips. Haketzad Machish Besfosov. The lips have to be muttering, mumbling, right? The lips have to be moving. Now it's clear that when it says that the lips must be moving, it's not just that that's the ideal way that your lips move, and it's an additional mitzvah, that you can daven and your lips must also move as an additional mitzvah, as a plus. That's certainly not the intention of the Gemara. Rather, the intention of the Gemara is that if your lips don't move, you have not fulfilled the obligation of prayer. If a person only thought the words of prayer in his heart alone, he does not fulfill his obligation of prayer at all. And if, let's say, he did try and daven in his thoughts, and he sees that that's what he's done, and the time for davening is not yet over, he'd have to daven again. Right? It doesn't count at all. You know, the prayer that a person says in his thought doesn't count at all. And if there's still time to daven, he must daven again with chitos v'sayim kol teiv, with uttering each word with his lips. Im avrizmana, and even if you missed the time, even let's say if you're late now and you only thought the prayer and you didn't actually say the prayer, so then the loch will be tzayim l'spalel shtayim tefila shachar. You'd have to daven the next prayer. Let's say a person missed shachris, was he only davened it within his thoughts? So he'd have to daven mincha twice, just like anyone else who misses a prayer, because it's not counted at all. If a person just thinks the prayer, it's not counted at all. Kedin mishul leispalel kol ika, like someone who hasn't davened at all. Moshe iral ze hamogen avrom, like the mogen avrom rules. And simon kuf aleph berayus nechoynis, with proper proofs. He brings proper proofs for this idea that you don't fulfill the obligation at all. Shehema kedai lachia betzedek, right? Proofs that are justified proofs. And his conclusion there is, with thinking the prayer in your heart, in your thoughts, one does not fulfill his obligation. Also, it's known from the Zohar and the writings of the Arizal. Now, we know that the idea of prayer, the real idea of prayer, is fixing upper worlds. It's about remedying upper worlds. And to bring up the essence of the upper worlds, to connect the essence of the upper worlds to still higher worlds. And it's all about connecting worlds. Kol bechinas naran shebhem. All the aspects of the nefesh, ruach, neshama. Right? Each world has the three aspects of nefesh, ruach, neshama, which are different parts of the soul, right, from low to high. So therefore the worlds themselves have these concepts attached to them. And these are the concepts that we have to connect from low walls to high walls. Mimata lamala, from below to above. Hu al yedei hizdabkus viskashus nefesh adam beruchoi. And this is achieved specifically by attaching and connecting the nefesh of the person, that's the lower soul, right, the lower soul, to his spirit. And then beruchoi b'nishmosoi, and then his ruach, which is a higher aspect, to his nisham, which is still higher. The nefesh, the lowest, to the ruach, which is in the middle, and the ruach, which is in the middle, to the neshama, which is the highest. Moshe Kosov Eitz Chaim Le'el Soif Sharabez, as we wrote before. Ein Shambahem Nikshorim Alidei Akimas Nuas Fosov. And the connection is made by the twisting and by the movement of the lips. Bechituch Tevis Atfila, when you utter the words of the prayer. Shehu Bechinas HaMaisa Shevidibu. That is the physical aspect of speech, is the movement of the lips. Moshe Amu Chazal, Akimas Fasov Have Maisa. Like the rabbi, the sages say that movement of lips is called an action. Now this whole question, is speech called an action? Does speech have the power of an action? So the Gemara does say in Sanhedrin, yeah, that the movement of the lips is the action. That's an action. You move it, maybe it's a small action, but it's an action. And also prepared Kol Kisve, also the Gemara in Shabbos, it says, Minayin Shadibu Kamaisa. From where? So the Gemara in Shabbos, from where do we learn that speech is like an action? Shneiman brings a verse there. And that's the body of the dibur. The body of the dibur is the movement of the lips. And the speech itself also has those three aspects, nefesh, ruach, neshama. So the lowest aspect, which is nefesh, is the actual uttering of the words. That's the physical aspect of speech. Now, it's not enough to move your lips. You have to have air coming out of your lungs. You have to be projecting air. So the lips and the teeth mold the air, and that makes the sound waves. That creates the sound waves. That the sound should come out like one sound and not like another sound. So there's the air coming out from the lungs, and then that goes through your teeth and lips, and that forms the words. So the air itself is the hevel akol shu adibu atzmo hu bechinas ruach shabo. That's the level of ruach. So we speak about nefesh, ruach. So nefesh would be the movement of the lips. Ruach would be the air coming out through your mouth, which is going to create the sound wave. The kavanas alev, and the intention of the heart, the thought behind the speech. How much thought is there in a speech? Sometimes you say something with a lot of thought, and sometimes you say things without thought. So therefore we know, the more thought you put in your speech, the more powerful the speech is. So therefore, and the intention of the heart, Atevis based on Mirosim. In other words, what are you thinking as you're saying these words? What do these words mean to you? You're uttering words. What do these words mean to you? What intention are you putting in these words? Hu bechinas ha neshama shevedibus. That's the neshama of the speech. So we've got the nefesh, ruach, neshama of speech, and that parallels the lips, the air that comes out through your mouth, and the intention. Those are nefesh, ruach, neshama. L'zois, lo yotzi dechivas inyan atvila, and for this reason, one cannot fulfill his obligation of prayer, v'machshava hiru atevus b'lev levav, with only thoughts alone. Well, this, it's like you're missing the body. It's the nefesh, you're missing the body if you don't have the words. How can you attach yourself and connect yourself to the concept of neshama, which is the highest aspect, if you don't go by way of the levels? You have to go by steps. You climb a ladder, so you climb from the first rung to the second rung, and from the second rung you climb to the third rung. You can't jump up to the third rung, so therefore you have to go through the whole process. Right? You go from down below to up above. She's kasha nefesh el adibu. Right, he has to connect the nefesh, which is the speech, as we said, which is the movement of the lips, the ruach shel adibu, which is connected to the spirit of the speech, which is the air that comes from mouth, hushu hevel v'akoil, is the air and the voice. Ve'achakach yiskashu gam shneim b'neshom, and the two of them, the words created by the lips together with the air, with the sound waves that come out, is all connected to the neshama, which is the thought and the intent of the heart. However, if a person only wants to pray with thought alone, his prayer doesn't help at all. He hasn't remedied anything. He hasn't involved his body in it. He hasn't involved his physicality with it and his speech with it. So therefore, it doesn't work. It doesn't help. We know that the essence of our stay in this world is in order to remedy the physical aspect of ourselves. The ultimate world to come, which is the resurrection of the dead, involves the physical body. The physical body has got to make it to that world to come. So therefore, that has to be remedied. So therefore, it's the same thing for prayer to work, for our davening to have an effect. Our body, the body of our prayer, which is the words themselves, have to be attached to the thoughts. The thought alone doesn't have real worth. Amnam kashispalo the koil the chituch oisias adibu levad. Now, if a person did daven just with a voice and just with saying the words, afal pi shehu tzeref amachshava kavonas leva leha, afal pi sheloi, even though he didn't. What happens often to us, that yes, we did say the prayer, we said all the words, you know, we rattled it off very nicely, and our voice came out very nice, a nice voice, you could hear yourself whispering, but nevertheless, there was no thought at all. That's a person davens without any kavanah, right? He's just says the davening. So the word, in terms of the words and the speech and the voice, that was all fine. But in terms of his heart, his thoughts were in Alaska. His thoughts were climbing Mount Everest, and they were diving into the oceans of the Atlantic, wherever they were. They were swimming with the dolphins. Hagam shevada einem madrega shleima. If a person davens without any thought, right? He's just got the words and he's got the sound, but he hasn't got any thought. Even though it's not a perfect level, certainly that's not a perfect level. He's only got steps 1 and 2. He doesn't have step 3. It doesn't reach the height that it should reach. And therefore, it's not going to reach the world of thought. It reaches the world of action, the world of speech, but not the highest world, which is the world of thought. It doesn't come to the world of thought. Which is the world of the neshama. Since it's lacking the thought, it was a thoughtless prayer. Nevertheless, this is not in vain. Even someone who just says the words, it is not in vain. He has fulfilled his obligation of prayer. It's not the best prayer, because it was lacking thought, but he did his obligation. He should not daven again, because he's done it. He's fulfilled his obligation. He was Yotzi Zayin. Because at least he did attach his nefesh, which is the lowest aspect, which is his physical aspect, to his ruach, which is a high aspect, even though he didn't attach the highest aspect. He has attached the world of the nefesh, of the lower soul, to the world of the spirit. And that's it. And that's good. That's good. What can happen sometimes is a person, let's say, is very weak and he's not able to say the prayers, or for some reason he can't, whatever, for some reason the only thing he can do is think the prayers, so that is better than nothing. But if later on he feels better, then he should repeat the prayer, because prayer that's said only with thoughts doesn't count. So it's better than nothing. If the only thing you can do is just think the prayer, then that's what you should do. But If later on a person feels strong, he has to now daven properly. And daven properly means with the lips. V'ayin zoya pekudei, look in the zoya in Parshas pekudei, the itzrich tzlusa migoi machshova. It says they should tzrichim tefila mitzrich machshova rotzen alev. So it spells out there that the prayer has to come with thought and with desire. There has to be a desire, right? We have to have, there must be a desire to speak to Hashem, to praise Hashem, to ask, make requests of Hashem. So it's got to be desire, it's got to be thought, it has to be thoughtful. The coil, the Zohar says you've got to have desire and thought and a voice, udvas v'saim, and also the words of the lips. This is what the Zohar writes, in order to make a perfect prayer, where it's all connected together, it's all unified together, lamala, so that the lower world is unified with the upper world, moshu lamala. So therefore the lower world is pulled up to the upper world, you know, they're connected, and therefore the lower is together with the upper, and the lower world is elevated. In order to make a proper connection, machshava rotzen kril v'dibur, you've got your thought, you've got your desire, your intent, you've got your voice, and you've got your speech. Hem aba hamakashrim kshorim. These four have to all be connected. Achashe koshu kulam yachad. After one attaches the four of them together, right? Kulam yachad kshorim. You attach them all together as connections. Nasu kulam merkova achad. They all become like one vehicle. They become one force. The four of them together. The desire, together with the thought, together with the voice, together with the speech. They become a single vehicle, they become united together, a single vehicle. It's like a vehicle, like you think of a limousine, and the king gets into the limousine, he sits in the limousine, gets into the chariot, he sits in the chariot, and that's the divine presence. And the voice becomes a chariot in which the divine presence can rest on that voice, on that prayer. And the voice which is coming out from that prayer is going to make these connections from the lowest world to the highest worlds. Ein sham hetev. You look at that Zohar. Look at it well. The parshas from Midbar. On the echlal, the ikar that slusa talia beuvden de kadmisa. Right, and there, there's also in the parshas from Midbar that says there in the Zohar that the main part of prayer depends on starting with an action. It has to start with action. Everything we do starts with an action, and from there it moves on to speech and to thought. Achach bedibu apeh dafka. So specifically, it always starts with an action. Ubiidra zuta, which is another quote, which is another Zohar, that's another part of the Zohar. It says like this, Kol ma dechoshev ba'anash, whatever person thinks, at kol ma shechoshev odom, whatever person thinks, v'kol ma shehistakel b'liv, or whatever person looks into his heart, eino yiseh dov ad shemoytzi b'sfosav, it makes no effect. All the thoughts, right, and all the meditations has no effect until he actually says it with his lips. It has to be the lips. The lips is the action, is the world of action. And therefore, for every prayer and every request that a person makes, he must say it out, say it with the lips. If he doesn't say it, then the prayer is no prayer. And the koshosa, because his request is not a request. But once the words do come out, and they break through into the air, right? The sound waves come out and they make an impact on the air around him. So the amilim yoitzes umisbakus ba'avir vo'ilis, and they go up to the heavens. Lokeh oisan mishelokeh, lokeh oisan mishelokeh umachid oisan lekesa kodesh. So therefore, the heavenly forces that take those words will take them and tie them to the holy crown. There's an idea that's also brought in the Kabbalistic sources, how every word, it becomes another part of Hashem's crown. Each one contributes to Hashem's crown. So therefore Hashem wants those words, and he attaches them. With that he makes a beautiful, glorious crown for himself. All of the words are the elements that compose this crown. Also in the general sense, the Zohar says, Man da omer deloy boya uvda bakula. But anyone who says, someone who says that you don't need the aspect of action, someone will come along and say that no, the action parts aren't important. The main thing is the thought. The main thing is the intention. That's what the Zohar says. Someone who comes along and says that you don't need the action, or milim lo itziem nasus kol. You don't need the words. The main thing is your intention, right? You don't have to make any sounds. Tipach ruche. May that person die, says the Zohar. Someone says such a thing, you know, we don't need the action, we don't need the sound wave, we just need the thoughts. May that person die. Why is destroying the Torah? He's going against the whole Torah. The Torah is about incorporating the physical together. That's really the objective, is to elevate the entire physical world. So that's what it says. Very, very strong language, right? May that person die. Wow, very strong language. But nevertheless, that's just to clarify our point. And the whole idea of praying with intent, praying with the right thoughts, does not hold you back. If you don't have the right thoughts, it does not hold you back from fulfilling your obligation. Except for the first brach of Shmon Esrei, there it's brought that you must have intention for the first brach of Shmon Esrei, because that is there you need intention. Not enough to have just lip service, but you must have intention for the first brach of Shmon Esrei. And the Chazal say, if you don't have kavanah for the first brach of Shmon Esrei, then you don't fulfill your obligation. And even so, the rabbis have told us, let's say a person did daven and he didn't have intention for the first brocha, the rabbis have told us, don't repeat it. Because we're not sure the second time you'll have kavanah. So therefore leave it. That's fine. Right? In other words, the main thing is you've got the speech, that's the main thing. Now, Parshas Vayichi, also it says over there, Mandel libe torid uboilet solis. So there it brings someone whose heart is preoccupied. Sometimes a person's got a big worry, he's got a big thought, something's worrying him. And he's very, very preoccupied. Right? But he has to daven. What must he do? It's now time for davening. If he doesn't daven now, he's going to miss the davening. But he's very, very, he's got this huge eye thought in his mind. He's going crazy about something that he's thinking about. Whatever it is, some sort of project he's got to do, something with some problem with whatever, with the family, or with panosa, with all sorts of issues that come up in a person's life. So therefore, someone's heart's very, very preoccupied, and he wants to daven his prayer, or shubet sorrow, he's got troubles, he's in trouble. His mind's not settled at all. His mind is always, it's a tumult. It's in 101 places. It's whizzing around. And he feels he can't say the praises of Hashem. He's not focused on saying the praises of Hashem. He's focused on his trouble that he's got. So says the Zohar, even though he can't say the praises of his Lord, kamoshet tzarich ma. Right, he can't say them as he should. Even though he cannot intend his heart, he cannot have intention, proper intention, and he cannot intend his desires, what he wants to achieve with his prayer. Say the shvacha shel ribon lama yigora. Nevertheless, why should saying the words of Hashem's prayer? Why should that be? Why should you lose that? It's true, your thoughts are a tumult. Your thoughts are all over the place. But the words can be said. The words is more mechanical. Just at least say the words. Take the siddur, say the words, say the praises of Hashem. Your thoughts are somewhere else. Doesn't matter. At least you said the prayer. Why should Hashem's praises not be said? So that's what the Zohar says. At least, even though you're very preoccupied, your head is rushing around in 1,000 places, nevertheless you should at least say the words. And that has a value. Let him say the praises of Hashem, even though he has no intention. Perek Vav, chapter 6. Now, even though it's the thoughts of a person that's what penetrates the highest of worlds, and it's what part of us actually gets to the highest places in the heavenly worlds, it's our thoughts. It's true, it's really our thoughts that are the ones that penetrate the highest of heavens. And therefore, when a person does attach to any mitzvah that he does a purity of thought and a purity of intention, when a person does a mitzvah with the right intentions, so then his actions will be much more effective in the highest world. In other words, when you can attach pure thoughts and purity of intention to your actions, so we know that they're much more powerful. The actions itself becomes much more powerful. It goes up to much higher worlds and has a great effect. We're saying here like this: if a person will also attach purity of thought to the actions that he does, his actions will have greater effect in higher worlds. Nevertheless, even though the thought can boost the action, the thought is never the essence. The thought is never the most important. The thought is what boosts the action. You've got to have something to boost. So the thought boosts the action, but it's the action that's the main part. You've got to have the action. Moshe Nisbah, as we've explained. Ein Zoya Yisrei Tzadik Gimel Reish Ein Beis. Look over there in the Zoya. He writes like this. He means Damin Loi Maisa. If a person gets an opportunity to do a certain deed, right? The deeds have come to him. It's an opportunity. An opportunity has come to him. Mechavin Bo, and he does it with intention. He does it with the right intentions. Zakayu. Then he's merited. And he gets a special reward. That's a merit. Afapisha Eino Mechavin Bo, and even if he'll do the action without that intention, right? If he does with intention, he's merited. And if even if he does without that intention, Zakayu, still he merits. Because he's done the command of Hashem. Hashem said, do X, Y, Z, do this, and he did it. And Hashem said, make me a cup of tea, he made the cup of tea. So there we did it. So if he's got the action, he's done the will of Hashem. However, he's got the action. It won't be the same value as someone who does it with the purest of motivations. He says, does it lishmo for the sake of Hashem. And he really wants to please Hashem. Obviously, he won't have that aspect. It's like sometimes a person who does an action, he doesn't know that he should have an intention. So that will be, that'll take away a little bit from his action. But in any event, he's got the action. The imze im ein sham rotzen alev, right? We know if the intention is not there, that would take away from the action. Nevertheless, we've got the following idea. It says that David HaMelech davened, and he adds a certain idea, a beautiful idea. That David, right, when we're speaking here about doing action without having the right intention. So what we've got from Tehillah that David HaMelech himself davened and said, "Umaisi odeinu koinenu aleinu." He asks Hashem, even though we've only done the action, our intention wasn't there. Sometimes a person is preoccupied, his thoughts are not in the right place. So David HaMelech asks that if I've done the actions, Hashem, you fix up the intentions. You finish the job for me. Imagine a little kid who's trying to do his homework and he just doesn't know how to do it. So he sort of did what he could, and then his mother comes, his father comes, and they fix up the rest. They make a correction here, make a correction there, and they add a word here, they add a word there. And they fix it up for him. They fix it up that it should be a good project. So the same, that's what David HaMelech davened. He said, even though, if I just do the action, sometimes my thoughts aren't in it. Please, you Hashem, you add the thoughts. That's his prayer. And that's, why? Because a person sometimes is very worried, right? And he can't daven with proper intention. But he wants to do the will of Hashem. He's very preoccupied. His thoughts are all over the place. But he wants to do the will of Hashem. He's come to daven. He's come to do the will of Hashem. So therefore, he's trying his best under the circumstances. He's just, he's just a bit for tumult at the moment. He's a bit worried at the moment. But he wants to do his best. So then, this is where David HaMelech's prayer kicks in. Hashem, you fix up the rest. Right? You make it good. It looks like, just like the kid says to his parent, right? He says, "Daddy, Mommy, you fix up my project. You finish it off, right? I did what I could, and that's the best I could do. But you finish off." And that's also valid. In other words, sometimes just we've got this mechanism that David HaMelech instituted, that Hashem sometimes, if we've done what we can, Hashem sometimes will step in and He will lift up our prayer and He'll take it to the highest of worlds. And that's included in David HaMelech's prayer. Umahu koinenu aleinu, and you fix it for us. Koinenu mahasken tikunim lamalakarui. Let my prayers, even though my prayers aren't so powerful because I didn't have the right intentions, let them go up to the highest of worlds and let them remedy what they're supposed to remedy. And let that be to our credit. Aleinu, for our credit. Hafufishain anu yodim lasim harotsin. Even though we don't know how to have the right intention. We only know to do the physical action. We've just done it in a very mechanical sense. We don't know how to have the right intention. But Maisi Adenu, still take our actions, and you fix up our actions that they should have the proper effect. Let go up to that highest of world where it's supposed to make the repair it's supposed to make. And this is the same thing. This David HaMelech said in general about all our actions. He wasn't talking specifically about davening. He was talking about all of our actions, all of our mitzvahs. Hashem, you add the right intention to our actions. So the same thing is true for prayer. Right? That the prayers that we have should be going to this highest of place, which is Hashem's place. Like we said before, we spoke in Shah Gimel, having the right intention, trying to daven to the concept that there is nothing besides Hashem, that you're speaking to Hashem in such a way that nothing exists besides Hashem Himself. Also, when you say the Shema and you say the name, and you say Echad, that Hashem is one. which is the first pasuk of Krishma. Also we explained over there, also the idea is to get to the idea that there is nothing besides Hashem. However, like we've been saying here, all of these intentions are only to boost your prayer, they're only to make it more beautiful, but they don't, they're not likuvah, they don't withhold you from fulfilling your obligation. Shigami shelo yada b'zeh klal, someone who doesn't know how to have these intentions at all, he just doesn't simply, he just takes a siddur and just reads the words, no intentions at all, he's just reading the words from the siddur. Someone has no intention at all, ki lo hugal b'zeh, he hasn't learned how to think such thoughts, or shemoyche lo yisavil do, or sometimes these thoughts are too lofty for him, he doesn't understand these thoughts, even though maybe someone tried to explain it to him, he didn't understand it. Shelo yored l'amko, he wasn't able to penetrate the depth of these thoughts, or it could be a person who is very intelligent, but he's worried about thinking these thoughts because maybe he'll think them wrong. Maybe these thoughts he'll think them in a way that's this is a little bit of heresy. Maybe he won't use these thoughts correctly. He might misuse them in some way. Or someone who hasn't understood the topic properly, someone who hasn't properly meditated on the topic and properly understood the topic. So therefore, what's he going to do? He's just going to say the words. He's scared to think intentions, or he doesn't understand the intentions. No one ever taught him the intentions. Nevertheless, he's going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's just going to do the physical part of what the Torah says, the written Torah, the oral Torah, what our sages tell us, Rabbi Hussein HaGdolim, Umamin Mechavin Deach Klal HaPosuk Rishon DeKrishma. And therefore he's going to say Shema with just a general belief. Not without specific deep ideas, just a general belief that I believe in Hashem, I believe that Hashem is one, whatever that means, and I believe that, I accept that. So therefore, he's going to fulfill the mitzvah. Shehu Yisborach Hu Echad, he just has a general thought that Hashem is one. Gam She'enu Yodei Inyan Achdusa Yisborach, even though he doesn't really understand this concept of the unity of Hashem, that everything is a part of Hashem, that there's really nothing besides Hashem, even though he doesn't know these things, Mechavim Tfilosa De'echlal Lo Yisborach Belei Chakira. Just he wants his prayer to be to Hashem. He wants to do the will of Hashem. Gam Ken Nikra Hoyved Hashem. He too is called that he's doing the service of Hashem. Because all of these extra intentions that we've been speaking about, all of these lofty thoughts, that's for someone who's fit for that, someone who can do these things. So then it's for him. Someone who's at the level that he can do these thoughts, he can have these intentions, so then it's for him. Right? Someone who, of course, can hear Hashem, Chosh Veshmo. So those people on the highest of levels, for them, these ideas, these very lofty Kabbalistic ideas, have been taught. Some people who have the strength to say these words, but for other people, just doing the mitzvah is doing the mitzvah. And therefore, Chas V'Sholem, that a person should ever overlook any of the details of the action. The action is the essential. So the Chas V'Sholem, he says, I want to have the right intention, and therefore he's going to take shortcuts in terms of the action. He says, Chas V'Sholem, anyone should neglect any aspect of the action. Even if it's some law from the rabbis, some extra law that they added, some extra precaution that they added, right? Just the main thing is always to do the action in a full way, not to change anything, not to change the time of the mitzvah, the fulfilling of the mitzvah has a certain time, to do it in its time. A person wants to daven late because he feels that his thoughts aren't pure enough, so Chas V'Sholem should ever do something like that. And anyone who is more exacting in doing the action properly, he wants to do the action with perfection, he is the one who is to be praised.